Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Boxing Talk, presented by Mad Stuff Sports Radio. And it is just another slow weekend in boxing. Waiting for basically November when all the fights come around. So it's just slow right now. But, I mean, you got any news, Jarrell?
Just a lot of trash talking, a lot of talk. Not so much things happening. Just a lot of talk. A lot of YouTube back and forth. A lot of, just trying to set up the actual fight, opposed to having it already registered in your mind what's going to happen. They're trying to put things together like the Klitschko and the Joshua and the Triple G and the Canelo talking trash. Nothing really catching your eye other than, the behind the scenes talk, Tyson Fury and his depression. So it's just weird in the boxing world right now, because we're not talking about boxing. We're talking about other things.
So did Tyson Fury claim depression or something? Did I miss out on something?
I've seen an article about him fighting depression and having suicidal thoughts, and I think that's just his way of trying to explain why the cocaine was in the system. Because normally when you I don't know too many people that are depressed on cocaine. Normally that's a party drug. So I don't know what he's trying to do with the coming out with saying he's depressed and suicidal and he's going through his own personal issues. Nobody really knows what's going behind closed doors. We can only see what they show us. So I'm not too sure, how to feel about that.
All right, so let me get this straight. So basically, he's depressed. So
yeah,
with that same argument, though, Jarrell, it goes back to what I said earlier in the year about Ronda Rousey when she lost her first fight to Holly Holm. Magically, she wanted to kill herself and she wanted to have all these mental problems and all that other things, but when she was kicking everybody's ass and she's on top of the world, then everything's fine. Yeah. Same thing with Fury. He gets caught with some cocaine. Now it's all this depression. So I feel like MMA, boxing, all these people, when these people magically all of a sudden have mental issues when they caught doing wrong or when they get a reality check, I think what they should do is automatically clear they're mentally unfit to participate in the sport. Because if you're saying that you can get depressed by losing, well, then I don't think it's good for you to come back in the ring. Or if you can get depressed and that's why you're taking a drug, well, then you don't need to come back in the ring, because that means you're mentally unfit to compete in the sport. Once people start doing that, then people are just finally just admit, they're like, you know what, I was doing too much coke, I was having too much fun, I'm sorry, I would like a suspension, but I'd like a second chance. Same thing with Ronda Rousey. I was too cocky, I was too arrogant, I got my butt kicked, but now I'm ready to redeem myself and get back in the ring. I don't understand what's so hard about people just saying that. Why does everybody need to come up with these bullcrap excuses when they get a reality check? It's life. We all get it.
Being honest in a position like that where the cameras are on you and the spotlight is on you, I'm sure that's a tough thing to do, because you're worried about your image, you're worried about your fan base, and if kids are looking up to you, people are looking up to you, and they find out that you're not who you say you are, then that alone is going to mess your career up, financially at least. So, he'll probably try to keep it under wraps as much as they could. And instead of being honest about it, who knows if he's really depressed or any of that. And he might just be saying that to justify why he's doing cocaine, I don't know. I don't know about that, because, I understand the depression part, because everybody goes through stuff, but you're right. You were just on top of the world. So if you're depending on just that to keep you happy, then, yeah, you need to check yourself out of the game for a little while and fix your personal life and get that stuff together before you can perform, because you can't perform like that anyway. You know, we say it all the time, boxing, you have to be mental, physical, and spiritual, all on the same level to really compete at your highest level.
Yeah, I just think it's funny, like, even with Rhonda, it's like all of a sudden she got all this depression and she wants to commit suicide when she gets her butt kicked, and it's just like, you know, it's bullshit to me, because it's like you decided to take that cocky, arrogant role. So when it falls, you got to be willing to take it on the chin, and you just got to woman up, just like they tell us to man up. And you got to say, you know what, I was a little arrogant, I was a little cocky, I got a reality check, and that's it. And if your fans are really fans, then they'd understand you saying that, because your fans at the end of the day still have to understand that you're a human being. Kids at a young age need to understand, yeah, that's my hero, but they're a human being. And I think better off we'd be a society. It's just too many people that want to keep up this fake image on social media or YouTube or just what they are, rather than just being honest. Yo, I'm a human being. It happens to the best of us. Floyd Mayweather said it all the time. That's why he's the greatest. He said it's the fight game. It happens to the best of us. And I don't understand what's so hard about saying that and then moving on and getting better. And then if you don't get better, then it's like, okay, you are hype, but you made your money. You got your acting endorsement, same thing with Tyson Fury. You got your heavyweight title. You got to do what you got to do, and you move on. But it's just too much, and I think, honestly, that's the problem now in everything. If everybody wants to keep up this fake image going instead of just being who they are.
Yeah, and they would probably even get better sales if they would just be themselves, because Ronda Rousey lost a lot of fans. She lost a lot of fans before the fight even happened. Like, I knew she was going to lose that fight because Holly Holmes has had too good of a striking technique. You know, her striking was just that good that I knew that she was going to lose. So it was kind of fun, you know, watching it play out, because there's a lot of people that switched sides before the fight, because Ronnie was, she really was extra cocky and, you know, like putting her fist in the girl's face and, you know, just not relaxing. You know, you really can't fight that angry anyway. So you're building up this whole image of that you're a badass and you're a tough person, and then nobody can beat you. And that's not the case, because you're not Superman. You know, anybody can get beat. So for you to build up that image and build up that persona to that extent, and then get embarrassed like that, you know, that's got to take a shot to the ego. So I laughed at it myself, you know, because I kind of knew it was going to happen. But anytime somebody gets that big-headed, there's no way they could focus on the task at hand in front of them, which is a person punching them in the face. You know, they're too worried about their own what they look like, you know, opposed to getting the job done.
The funny thing about that whole situation is, before that fight, the media was sending her at Floyd Mayweather, and she was running her mouth, something, I could be the guy, I could be in life, I'm the one that's going to take you down, Floyd, all this other stuff. And what I loved about her getting her ass kicked after that was Holly Holm came straight out and said, Floyd Mayweather is the best ever. I used to be a boxer. And on top of that, me used to be a boxer. I used some of Floyd's techniques to kick Ronda's ass. I love that Holly Holm came out and said that. And that happened to her right away, because they were trying way too hard to make Floyd look bad and build this bad image of him. And then she comes out and flatlines this girl. And I loved every second of it, because it was the media and all the propaganda people, including people that hype Ronda Rousey up, coming home to roost, getting what they deserve. They got exactly what they deserved when they deserved it, because they tried too hard to destroy a man over something that had nothing to do with what was going on. And I love the fact that a boxer beat this so-called MMA chick up, because everybody always says, oh, I was like, that's why I chose. I love MMA, but that's why I chose boxing, because it's more of an art, and you got to be more athletic.
Exactly. And it's that style versus that same style, but you get to put your own little twist on it, you know, opposed to MMA where you might be good at striking, and then you only last 30 seconds because the guy with jiu-jitsu takes you down and takes your back, and then the fight's over. And, you know, that's I don't really care too much to see that, you know. I'd rather somebody be on the same playing level when it comes to the style of fight, and then let their skill show who's better at that. So the MMA to me, and I think that's what the whole Ronda Rousey Mayweather thing was, because at the time, Ronda Rousey was the face of the UFC. She was the superstar. That was kind of right before the Conor McGregor thing started coming into play, and he's doing the same thing, calling shots at Mayweather. So I really don't think it's a Mayweather thing. I think it's the UFC trying to live up to the legendary status of boxing. And so in order to do that, they have to attack, you know, the legendary boxers to prove that they are on that same level of skill and athleticism and just the superstardom of combat sports, you know.
You know what I think is stupid about that whole thing, Jarrell, though, is that HBO is trying so hard to market Triple G to the fan base because they're trying to get the non-minority fan base, like which UFC has built up so well.
Yeah.
And it's not working. And then in addition to that, they try and attack boxing and say, oh, well, boxing needs one federation, one league. They need to be like the UFC. And it's just like, no, that's a bunch of bull crap. It doesn't need to be like the UFC. It doesn't need to be under one umbrella because guess what, Jarrell? When you look at Jon Jones' best fight, when you look at Ronda Rousey's best fight, guess what they don't get? They don't get as much money as a mediocre boxer gets paid.
Yeah.
Mediocre boxers payday on a pay-per-view or on a HBO is like $1.5 million easily. These people will fight on UFC pay-per-view, and their payday will be like $200,000 or $300,000.
Some are even less than that.
That's the thing. You fight on pay-per-view as a boxer. Beforehand, the minimum you're getting is like $2 or $3 million, and then after pay-per-view sales, you're probably gonna get like a $3 or $4 million kickback. So minimum, you're probably gonna make $5 to $7 million. Whereas with the UFC, because you gotta pay all these people and you got this president and all these people, you might get like $700,000, maybe $800,000, and most of your money probably comes from your damn sponsors in the UFC. And then to get your sponsors in the UFC, Jarrell, you gotta go through some UFC like code thing.
Because they took the sponsors away, right? It's sponsored by Reebok now, right? So you can't even wear your team colors or other sponsors like they used to. They used to have patches, they used to have flags, T-shirts, hats, all of that stuff before they even got in the ring, and now they're pretty much wearing a uniform. So they're not even getting their money from their sponsors because they're not promoting it during the fight. So it really is a controlled business now when it comes to the UFC, and that's why a lot of people are looking towards Bellator and other options in the mixed martial arts.
But I think it's funny because everybody always was trying to say, we need to make boxing, so these people had to fight, those people had to fight. I'm like, look, man, let me tell you something. Boxing is beautiful to me because it's independent. WBA, yeah. WBC, IBF, IBA, I don't give a damn. You want to know why? I don't give a damn because that means that I could have five different boxing councils or boxing organizations, and I can learn of 25 different people. Whereas at UFC, you got one top five, and that's it. But it may be some dude over in La La Land that's better than all those top five, but he just not knows which.
Exactly. Because I started noticing that with the UFC is that they kind of pick and choose who they want to be famous. And then they kind of set their path up, you know, throughout the organization to where they can make it to the top and hold that. I mean, Conor McGregor is a perfect example. A couple of years ago, I didn't even know who he was, you know. And then all of a sudden, he's the best fighter in the world. It's like, I don't know. I don't too much agree with that. He might be the best fighter in the UFC against the people that you put him up against, but I'm pretty sure there's a better fighter than him. I'm pretty sure. You just picked him because he's marketable, he's got a mouth to him, and, you know, he is somewhat athletic. So, when I saw him and Nate Diaz fight, I didn't see anything special. I saw Nate Diaz putting some work in, you know. So there's no way you're telling me that Conor McGregor is the best fighter in the world. No, I'm pretty sure if you did put him up against the Mayweather, it wouldn't last as long as you think it does. Just especially if it's just hands. But even if he can kick and submit and all that stuff, I still wouldn't bet against Mayweather. I still wouldn't, because that guy is a technician. He's a master in his trait. And I've seen people that okay, you're only allowed to use hands, while he could use hands and feet. And the guy with the hands will still win just because he knows how to throw his hands and keep the guy off of him. So even if it went either way, I still would not bet against Mayweather, against that guy.
That's exactly why when that happened and Floyd offered him all the money, that's why McGregor said no. That ain't enough money, when that would have been more money than he ever would have made at UFC. He knew what he was saying, though, too, because he knew he would have lost. But then UFC got it together, and they gave him the money they wanted for that rematch, and then that was it. So, like, he knew what he was doing. He knew he didn't want that problem. It's all a game joke to me. But that's always been my argument, because even in the past when I've hosted this show, I've had other co-hosts really like, boxing needs to do it like this because it needs to force. Like, no, they don't. Because in boxing, you get what you're worth, not what you negotiate. And UFC, you get what you negotiate, not what you're worth. You see what I'm saying? In boxing, if you have a fan base like Canelo Alvarez does, you can fight in some of those key cities in Texas, San Antonio, Dallas, you know, Houston, sometimes even Austin. You can fight in those key cities, make your money, or go to L.A. or Vegas, make your money, and guess what? You don't ever have to worry about somebody else wants you to fight. Because as of right now, HBO has this propaganda, like he's scared of Triple G, and they're trying to make this money off Triple G. But the real... is that Canelo doesn't need Triple G. HBO and Triple G need Canelo. So at any time, Canelo could give a middle finger and say bye, just like that post-fight interview where Max called out Oscar De La Hoya. Did you see that yet?
Actually, I saw a little bit of it.
And he said, your promoter is scared. I might put it on Texas Boxing Fans, I don't know. He said, your promoter is scared to let you do this, but you're not, so this, and that. And to me, it's just like, no, his promoter's not scared. His promoter's trying to get him as much money as much as he can. You guys are desperate for a big HBO fight, so you're scared that you don't want to lose that money. And they actually said an article about that the other day, Jarrell. That's why everything's slow right now, is because they said HBO was losing money because of putting on these. Well, what HBO needs to do is simply say, okay, let's get these 10 fights that everybody wants to see. Like, we know that they just signed Lomachenko, Nicholas Walsh. Put that on 1 week. Instead of putting Andre Ward, Sergey Kovalev on pay-per-view, just put it on regular HBO, like when Bernard Hopkins fought Sergey Kovalev. And it did astounding numbers, because what HBO is going to have to do is they're going to have to get paid, because the people who run HBO, they're going to have to see, like, yo, you see how much money we got just for this right here? And right now, honestly, if you did a channel called HBO Boxing, and they just did an HBO Boxing channel, and that was separate from the HBO network, do you know how much money they will make alone?
Yeah, a lot.
So it's like, that's what I'm saying. So you can make your money. Y'all just trying to be greedy. And then I like this propaganda again, where they're saying Golovkin Jacobs talk gets messy, and it says it should be no surprise that it's getting messy. But basically what they're trying to say, they said both sides aren't getting anywhere. But we knew this, Jarrell, because, you know, Triple G has to fight somebody that's his size.
We talked about that last week.
What'd you say, bro?
I said we talked about that last week, about it was a possibility, but they're probably not going to make it happen. And if they do, you know, I would say Jacobs is probably going to end up on top of that. So it's one of those things where do you want Triple G to lose? You know, do you want him to lose?
But the thing is, isn't it odd, Jarrell, is that how every time it's a guy that's the same size as Triple G that can kick his ass? Isn't it odd how these negotiations become messy? Like, that can't happen every time, man. It can't be somebody else's fault every damn time. Like, come on, man.
It's funny because, you know, if you really want to make the fight happen, it takes a couple of days. Hey, you want to fight? All right, get the contract ready. Get the paperwork ready. But, you know, I'm starting to realize that the people that really don't want to fight, those are the ones that kind of let the negotiations go on forever, because they're trying to find a way out. Trying to find a way out or another opponent that they know that they can come across a little bit easier. Because Jacobs is not going to be an easy win for Triple G. That's going to be a battle. And Jacobs might, like I said, he might even come out on top of that just from the size alone. Jacobs is not a small person, so I would like to see that fight.
So here's what's happening, Jarrell. I'm reading it, and it's like it's going to go down like how I said. Here's exactly what they said. It said it's hard to make a purse bid. The WBA ordered the fight and gave the camps Tom Koeffler, K2 Promotions, on Triple G's behalf, Al Haymon, until October 12th to make a deal or a purse bid would be ordered. So, and they said neither side is getting along. Right now, to me, I'm already giving a thumbs down to Triple G's side, because if Al Haymon agreed to let Daniel Jacobs fight on HBO when he's a PBC and a Showtime fighter, that shows he's trying to make the fight because ain't nobody scared. Just like with Kovalov. And what's the other dude's name? Adonis Stevenson. So here's what's going to happen, Jarrell. They're going to do the purse bid. Al Haymon's going to win the damn purse bid. After Al Haymon wins the purse bid, HBO is going to say, oh, well, we want the order. We want to own the rights to the fight. So then, therefore, when they don't own the rights to the fight, they're not going to let the fight happen like they did with the Adonis Stevenson Kovalov thing. And then from there, the fight's not going to happen. And then ESPN, who's owned by HBO low-key, is going to go behind the scenes and make it look like Triple G was all innocent, nothing went wrong, and it was Daniel Jacobs' fault while the fight didn't happen. And then they'll get some other bum in there to say that who needs to fight Triple G. And then when he beats that bum up, they'll start messing with Canelo again.
Yep. And so I've heard some things about the split, like, you know, 75-25 split when it comes to the money. And so do you think that that's a tactic to avoid the fight also? Like, 75% is a lot, you know. And if somebody offered me 25%.
No, go ahead.
I said, if somebody offered me the 25% and I know you're getting 75, I would hesitate to sign that contract too, you know. I'd be like, well, this guy is trying to duck me in another way by not paying me what I feel that I deserve. So he's trying
Jarrell,
to get out of the fight
the same
that way.
Tactic, Jarrell, brother, I'm going to tell you that's the same tactic that they used when Triple G was supposed to fight Andre Ward, and the same tactic when he was supposed to fight Eubank Jr. He would offer him a bullcrap contract. They both said, no way. And then they all of a sudden pulled out and made it seem like somebody else didn't want to sign it. It's the same thing like with
and
Eubank
now they're scared.
Jr. And that's what I'm saying. And they're going to, and it's the same thing they're going to say with Jacobs. And then they're going to say somebody else backed out, and then they're going to switch it up. They use the same tactic every time when it comes to him fighting a competitive fighter. If it's a bum or somebody that they think Triple G can beat, then all of a sudden the negotiations will be fair.
Yeah. And so the Triple G Canelo negotiations you think would be fair?
Of course it'd be fair, because HBO would get their money back. And if HBO didn't get their money back, then they would make Triple G look bad. But right now, Oscar De La Hoya offered Triple G a flat rate of $8 million to fight Canelo. And honestly, that's a great flat rate, because that's the biggest his damn pay career.
Yeah, for sure. And so they've sparred before, right? And I understand that it's just a sparring session. But do you think that also has, you know, it obviously has created some trash talk, but then it might have put some fear in either or of the fighters. You know, it's different when you haven't faced that guy at all and it's just talk. But then when you get in the ring and you can kind of feel them out and test them out and see what they're capable of doing, that changes things a little bit. You know, and if you saw the picture afterwards of them sparring, Triple G's face was red. Like, he was red. And I understand it's just a sparring match, so they probably weren't trying to kill each other. They're probably just getting some work in. But still, you have to have been getting tagged in the face, you know, over and over again for your whole face and nose to be lit up red like that. So, I haven't seen any film on the sparring match, but you see the pictures and the results afterwards, and it's hard to tell who got the better of who, but one guy was definitely, his mind might have changed a little bit about his opponent, you know. So the ducking and dodging might even come from that, you know, the I sparred this guy. I might not have been on my best of days that day, but he was working me. So I either need to get in shape or I need to step my game up when it comes to if I really want to compete with this guy in a fight sometime soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be the same tactic, Jarrell. And I'm glad, you know, one of the people that see it. And just to let you know, we got 4 minutes left, so we're going to go. But I'm going to talk two and I'm going to give you the last two. But it's the same tactic, bro. It's going to be the same no matter what. If it's not somebody that they think they can keep the Triple G hype bandwagon going on or somebody that's going to give him a problem, then they'll just simply say, oh, they weren't communicating in the negotiation. And what they'll do is they'll send that bullshit contract like they did with Ward, like they did with Eubank Jr., like they did with everybody that could give Triple G a problem. And then when they say that, they'll say, oh, we gave them a contract, but they didn't want this. It wasn't fair. Because they tried to do that with Nicholas Walters, Lomachenko at first, and then Nicholas Walters was like, no, I ain't taking that bullcrap. And then HBO came out and said, all right, let's get this guy Walters some money because he's worth the money. And now that he's got his money, we're good to go. And what they could do is have a little tournament where it could be Mikey Garcia, who just got out of his contract with Bob Arum, so he won't be on HBO. They could have a little tournament for them smaller guys. Mikey Garcia, Lomachenko, Rigondeaux, and Walters, them four, if they all win against each other, it'll be an amazing little tournament because we need that.
So going back to the heavyweights, you know, I heard that they're trying to get a Klitschko-Joshua fight coming in here in December. Do you think that they'll have enough time to pull that contract out? They said they have maybe like a week and a half to get it done. And it was supposed to take place in November, but they're going to try and push it back to December in order to make the contract happen. Do you think that's a possibility?
Of course it's a possibility when you wanted that to happen. Just like they made the Kell Brook contract happen fast after they had been in negotiations with Eubank Jr. all that time.
Yep. and both parties want to make that happen.
Let me say this real quick before we get out of here, because I meant to send you this text message the other day, so I'm going to say it on air so I don't forget. I saw that Bermain Stavern and Povetkin were having a contract negotiation. So I just wanted to say that real quick.
Nice. And I'm going for Stavern on that one. I like Stavern, man. He works hard. He's a late bloomer in the boxing game. And still got to where he felt that he needs to be. I would like to see him get another shot at the belt sometime.
Yep. Oh, yeah. He'll definitely have it. All right. This was just a short, quick show, man. Anything you got before we get out of here, man? I think we covered some good topics. I see the politics of boxing, but, you know, it'll never change. I'll put some more stuff on the blog, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm excited to see some real fights happen in the boxing world. You know, I'm training hard myself, trying to get myself in the game, foot in the door. I got these YouTube videos up for fitness. Just been training hard and working, trying to get things happening.
All right, y'all, that's our show for the week. Catch us back here soon. We're trying to hold out, but, you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, we'll definitely be back in full effect come the 27th Saturday, because then we only got a week till Pacquiao fight.
and then we'll have 2 months of just good boxing. But right now it's slow, and we'll weather the storm.